Todd Blanche had what can only be described as a difficult weekend. The acting attorney general rescinded Trump's $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, a fund specifically created to resource aggressive investigations of Trump's perceived political enemies, because two Republican senators had made clear they would block his confirmation if it stayed in place. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana then went on television Sunday and said he wouldn't bet his house on Blanche getting confirmed even after the rescission. A committee vote is scheduled for Tuesday, and the outcome is genuinely uncertain.
The anti-weaponization fund was politically toxic for a specific reason. It looked like Trump was trying to pre-fund a DOJ operation that would be insulated from congressional appropriations oversight. Republican senators who care about institutional prerogative, and there are still a few, found that unacceptable. The fact that Kennedy is still expressing doubt even after the fund was rescinded suggests there may be other concerns about Blanche that haven't fully surfaced publicly.
There's also the Epstein files angle, which isn't going away. Blanche admitted in a court filing that the DOJ inadvertently redacted a name in the Epstein documents. And I want to emphasize the word inadvertently is doing a lot of work in that sentence. A federal judge ordered the acting AG to turn over unredacted documents for in-camera review. Whatever name was obscured, the fact that it required a judicial order to surface it is the kind of detail that feeds a very specific and durable set of political anxieties.
The Supreme Court story is potentially the most consequential domestic legal development of the week, and it's one that will shape the mechanics of the November midterms. The court is weighing Trump's mail-in voting order, and there's a response deadline looming. Mail-in voting restrictions implemented close to an election cycle create enormous logistical disruption. States have already printed ballots, trained poll workers, and established procedures. Changes at this stage don't just affect who can vote. They affect whether election administration can function at all without chaos.
The Wall Street Journal editorial board's campaign against J.D. Vance is worth examining because the journal's board is a significant institutional voice for the business-oriented wing of the Republican Party. Their concern about Vance, reading between the lines, seems to be that his economic nationalism and his approach to corporate regulation and trade make him an unreliable steward of the kind of market-friendly governance that the journal's readership cares about. The timing, 90 days before midterms, 2 years before the next presidential primary cycle opens, is deliberate.
On the Democratic side, the fundraising numbers are stark. The DNC has raised just 12% of the RNC's war chest, with top donors described as being on strike. That donor strike is partly ideological. Some major Democratic donors are unhappy with the party's positioning on various issues, and partly strategic, with some big money figures holding back to see how the midterm environment develops before committing. At 12% of your opponent's war chest, 90 days from the election, you have a structural problem that enthusiasm alone can't solve.
DHS Secretary Mullen is dealing with a revolt from his own base over immigration reform remarks, and this connects to the broader Republican coalition tension. The MAGA base wants deportations and enforcement. Mullen apparently signaled some openness to a pathway conversation, and the reaction was swift and severe. The Haitian immigrants in Ohio being fitted with ankle monitors after their TPS expiration is a concrete example of what enforcement-first immigration policy looks like on the ground in communities. And Eric Trump's military robotics startup Drawing Fire adds another dimension to the family enterprise meets national security concerns that have dogged this administration.
The Senate GOP signaling it will delay its August recess to pass the Save America Act. The voter ID bill also feeds into the midterm dynamic. Lankford specifically said they'll keep going past Friday's planned break. Voter ID legislation close to an election cycle is legally contested and practically disruptive, and the timing guarantees it becomes a major campaign issue within days of passage.
California Democrats endorsing a billionaire tax while defying Governor Newsom is a notable intra-party fracture. Newsom is clearly positioning himself for a post-Biden presidential run, and the state party moving left of him on tax policy creates a tension he'll have to navigate carefully. The billionaire tax debate also connects directly to the wealth concentration story we see across the tech and financial sectors we'll get to shortly.